fully enduring requested by the parties in the appeals request for the farming services. And the government on the farming thing. This is a OPA case number OPA PA 07006. It was filed in June of last year. We had a number of months when we did not have a legal counsel hearing officer for the Office of Public Auditor. I was hired in September, and as well as another individual to serve as hearing officer for these appeals. We have 11 of them that were filed last year, and we have an appeal that was filed this year for the first year in 2006. So we have a formal hearing today, which is being held after two informal hearings, which were held on December 18th and January 10th. There had also been a motion which was served and decided that was met today. So, with me is Lou Paris, who is a supervisor from the Office of Public Auditor, assigned to monitor the case. And I'd like to ask the parties, the attorneys, to state their appearances.
One to J. Ariola, Ariola, John Ariola, for the interested party, AST Trust Corporation.
And I'm Tom Tarkley for Great West. And with me here today are three representatives of Great West. We're seated to my right behind me. It's Mr. Kent Morris, Mike Perez, and Alice Behera.
Okay, very good. Just some housekeeping. If we go beyond, let's say about 12:30, then we'll reconvene this afternoon at sometime after 2:30. Hopefully, no one has a conflict. If there is, then we can discuss that later. But hopefully, we'll be able to get through this as one. These proceedings are being recorded. However, they are not being transcribed and will not be unless one of the parties requests it. If the party requests it, they would be expected to pay for it under the procurement hearing rules. The decision in the matter will be issued by our regulation within 30 days. From today's hearing date, so sometime between now and around February 20th, there should be a written decision. And that's all. Okay, well, let's begin then. The order that I would like to hear. The argument would be Mr. Strutman, then Mr. McDonald, and then Mr. Ariola. And I believe you have a witness.
Potential witness. Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Thank you. I just have an oral presentation to make. I think that the facts, as far as Great West has been allowed to see them, are pretty much a matter of record. Mr. Cruz, my job this morning is to convince you to affirm the protest filed by
Great West. This, of course, will be a disadvantage to David John, who is a friend of mine, but he did not hire me. His lawyer is Jay Areola, whose sister lives across the street from me, and who sponsored my admission to the U.S. Supreme Court, and whose name appears on my certificate. So, Mr. Cruz, you too may have some relations that don't disqualify you, but that have some relations with the people involved in this case. In fact, the matter is, this is one small island. But this is business, and in the business of government procurement, the government is required to follow the procedure of law in awarding a procurement contract. Now, the retirement fund did not follow the required procedure, which is reversible error. The retirement fund used the wrong procedure to terminate its negotiations with Great West, when by law, the contract must be awarded to Great West. Now, this solicitation is a competitive selection procedure under an RFP. It is not based on the lowest price. The procedure requires the evaluation of proposals and a determination of which company is the best qualified offeror, and for the remaining companies to be ranked downward accordingly. It is uncontested that Great West was ranked as the best qualified offeror in this instance. Thus, by definition, ASC is less qualified than Great West. And I just want to quote directly from Title 5 of Law and Code Annotated Section 5216E, which pertains here. Award shall be made to the offeror determined in writing by the head of the purchasing agency or designee of such offeror to be best qualified based on the evaluation factors set forth in the request for proposals and negotiation of compensation determined to be fair and reasonable. Now, the retirement fund issued its determination that Great West's best and final offer of a fee based on 0.27% of holdings is not fair and reasonable. Black Bat, a fee of 0.25% is fair and reasonable. Now, how did they make that determination? Great West does not know. And it should be contained in the materials that were submitted under seal, which Mr. Cruz will have reviewed. But it is apparent that the retirement fund believes that a fee of 0.25% is more reasonable than a fee of 0.27%, but that doesn't make 0.27% fee unfair or unreasonable. If so, then this solicitation comes down to making the 0.25% a criteria of the solicitation, and that wasn't mentioned in the RFP. My point is this. Even if the fee of 0.25% is more fair and reasonable than Great West's proposal of 0.27%, the law requires the contract to be awarded to Great West if 0.27% is also a reasonable fee. But the retirement fund concluded that it wasn't. And we don't understand that. We do know several things. We know that the retirement fund has gone on the record in making two very contradictory statements in what data they use terminate their negotiations with Great West. In their protest denial letter, June 1st, everybody has a copy of this, but I made copies for everybody anyway, just for convenience. On page three, paragraph two, they state unequivocally, the fairness and reasonability of the Great West's proposed pricing in its proposal to the RFP is to be compared only against the relevant pool of proposals from other qualified offerers. Further on in the paragraph, it says, the determination of fair and reasonable is relative only to the other proposals submitted under the RFP. That's what they stated on June 1st. However, in their agency report, they stated the opposite. On page four, Retirement Fund conducted extensive research into the marketplace, using both in-house resources and price lists from industry organizations of which it is a member. See tab number 11 of the procurement record, which we have not seen. These price lists and in-house resources reflected the going rate for services sought on the open market. Now, we still don't understand what privilege the retirement fund has invoked to protect Great West from seeing third-party marketplace data nationwide. I don't know what privilege would apply. That has nothing to do with the proposals of the contestants here. And I would ask the hearing officer to reconsider this decision to keep those confidential. But because that we didn't have that information, we had submitted our own price comparison through the declaration of Kent Morris, who is here and available to answer questions from anyone here. And that was submitted to you, your office, I believe, on Friday. In a nutshell, what that data shows and what this declaration shows is that Great West fee breaks down to $45.16 annual fee per participant, which is way below the $62.12 average annual fee nationwide for plans of similar size, and that Great West proposal is mere cost. So how is that proposal unfair and unreasonable? On the contrary, the below average fee makes it a fair, reasonable fee, even though it is higher than 0.25%. Therefore, by law, Great West should have been awarded the contract, even though Great West wouldn't go as low as 0.25%, which was not a solicitation requirement in the RFP. And another thing we know is that the retirement fund equates the word value with the word price as being synonymous. We know that, again, referring to the June 1st protest denial letter, on page 3, paragraph 1, they use the word interchangeably. And I highlighted it. Value for N, price. Increment. All right? Now, the cheapest price is not always the best value. The old saying, you get what you pay for, is often true. And when you are flying in an airplane, are you comforted by the fact that it may have been built by the lowest bidder? This was not the cheapest price solicitation. The retirement fund was seeking the best qualified offer for a reasonable price, not the cheapest price. Great West fit that bill, and by law they are entitled to the contract. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Don.
The procurement process is designed to be competitive and for government agencies to get the most value for the services that we need. And as a matter of procedure, the retirement fund is no exception, and it asks for requests for proposals for services that it seeks, just to make sure that it's getting the most competitive price. And so that's what happened in this case. We have a request for proposal for investment management services for the deferred compensation plan and the deferred contribution plan for the retirement fund. And this plan involves over 9,000 members and has over $130 million in assets. So we're not talking about peanuts here. We're talking a lot of money, When the retirement fund issues the request for proposal, it really had a goal of making sure that the costs which were charged to its members were going to be transparent. And it didn't want a mixed bag of different fees coming from different places. It wanted a clearly delineated fee structure. And we'll get to that in a second. The background of the process is that it issued the RFP and it received a number of offers and selected three qualified offerors, with Great West being the initially best qualified, followed by ASC and Lincoln Financial Group in Hawaii. Once it selected Great West as the initial best qualified offerer, under the procurement regulations, it went on, therefore, to start to negotiate a contract with Great West. But it does that before it awards the contract. The negotiations necessarily take place before the contract is awarded and finalized. So with this goal of transparency in mind, the retirement fund asked for Great West to respond to four different criteria, not just a 0.25% of total assets. It asked, first of all, are you going to have an independent custodian? Because that was the retirement fund's preference. And the reason for that is because it didn't want extra fees coming from a custodian relationship. We want an independent custodian, and we want to know exactly what that custodian is going to be charging. If they're charging nothing, then say that. The others do deal more directly with price. What the retirement fund wanted was not to be charging its participants on a per participant basis. It only wants to be charged 0.25% of the total assets. And finally, what it wanted was to make sure that any fees, they're called 12B1 fees. These are fees that that mutual funds retain for marketing purposes. Because marketing is one aspect in this case, they wanted to extend any 12B1 fees or rebates for those to go directly to the fund and not to be absorbed by the third-party administrator. So it asked Great West for a response on these points, and generally they were not responsive. In fact, today all they talked about is the 0.27%. In fact, what they came back with, and this is something that we've presented to the public auditor, is that they have two separate proposals. One is to charge a fee to participants. They've also charged a fixed fee, and it did not remit all 12B1 fees. Under a second option, it did charge the fees to participants as long as it received those 12B1 fees, and in fact, it would have required participants to pay extra to the extent there was any shortfall. So what happened was the retirement fund then asked Great West, well, give us your best and final offer. And all it came back with was the 0.27%. It didn't address the custodian relationship. In fact, all it said is that, well, we may have identified somebody, but we'll confirm that with you later, which they never did. And it didn't address the other aspects, which are the participant fees and the 12B1 fees. On that basis, under the procurement regulations, the retirement fund actually had a right to terminate those negotiations, which it did after asking for best and final offer. Just because Great West was determined to be the most qualified initially does not mean that all other offerors are technically inferior. When we're talking about assets of over $130 million, even a small difference in the price structure could be rather significant for the members. And in this case, what we're dealing with is a retirement fund headed by a board of trustees, which are fiduciary. They are required to get the most value for the services that they're paying for. During the process of this protest, we received, we continued negotiations with the second best qualified offeror, which was AFB. And you have some of the documentation from AFB. And as you can see, the fund does have some indication that the price that Great West quoted is not the most fair and reasonable for retirement funds. And we also have with you, which was submitted under seal, a comparison chart which shows that in other locations, in other jurisdictions, 0.25% is not unreasonable and it's not unfair. Other jurisdictions will charge less. At this stage, what we would like is an affirmance of the denial of protest. And we think the process needs to go on to continue and to determine if there is another qualified offeror, and we've already said that there's two, who can present terms that are more fair and reasonable to the retirement fund and its members. This process may continue to a point where the next qualified offeror does not have the most fair and reasonable terms, in which case there is a third offeror, which may have that. Or it may be Great West in the end. But at this point, we can't tell. The procurement process is still underway. The retirement fund has an obligation to its members to achieve the most fair and reasonable pricing for the services that are going to be provided. The bottom line here are costs. And these are costs that are charged to participants. Because the procurement process is still underway and this appeal is being heard, participants continue to eat up those fees. The process of determinants is designed to be competitive, and retirement fund must be allowed to assess what offer meets the quality of services as well as the price that it seeks in the most competitive process.
Thank you. Okay, under Section 12109 J, any competing bidder offer or contractor of the customer funds may also submit testimony or evidence. So, if there are any, it's in that category. And what we're
talking about. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A few points you'd like to emphasize on behalf of AFB Trust Corporation, which is a part in sustaining the protest denial by the retirement fund against Great West. First and foremost, as the record shows, that retirement did its research and began negotiations with Great West, who particularly has had the fee administrative, has had the contract for several years. Specifically, the retirement sector research in the marketplace and listed price submissions of other qualified offers. Notably, three were deemed most qualified, not Great West. There were three out of all the different proposals. So you had from a pool of three to further negotiate with coming up with the right number. Retirement made it easy for Great West by listing all of the terms it believed would be part of the reasonable price of these letters. Based on its research, retirement requested most four items, as Ms. McDonald says, argued. A fee of 25 basis points, no fee assessed to participant account, a refund of all 12B1 fees, and an independent custodial service. Great West failed to respond to at least three of these issues and only responded to the 0.25 basis points request. They submitted their own letters, responding to the retirement fund request. They submitted pricing data, which included a variable fee from 33 points down to 27 points, depending on the total amount of assets. Retirement rejected this, but again gave them another opportunity to come down to 25 and add all these other few factors that we were seeking. And instead, GW's fifth and final offer was simply 0.27 basis points. That is unreasonable, and that is not a compliance with the requirements of the retirement fund to undergo a negotiating process on these other terms. Retirement concluded that the best and final offer was not fair and reasonable, based on the research he conducted and the factors set out in regards to Section 3118, the price package. Great West simply thought that because the retirement decided it was the best qualified offer at the time, it could set its own price, which it believed was reasonable, apparently based on its marketplace throughout the rest of the mainland. They tried to downplay the difference between two basis points, but the difference between 2.27 and 2.5 is significant. as Ms. McDonald has indicated. We're talking millions of dollars in the fine, hundreds of thousands of dollars at issue, minimum. But the difference between 0.27 basis points and 0.25 basis points. Essentially, GW's desk and file office was a one-liner that said, we'll stick with 0.27. That was not all that the retirement fund was looking for. They knew, based on all the other qualified offers that were present, that something better could be reached. Or something better can be used. And the procurement of works will not. Thank you.
May I have some rebuttal?
Yes.
You know, the statements I heard Elise McDonald make really underscore the differences in our understanding of the law in the Great West Retirement. She says that the procurement regulations are designed to foster competition, but they want the most competitive price. That's not the RFP procedure. That's wrong. It's the most qualified for a reasonable price. She also states that that Great West was initially ranked as the best qualified. There is no ranking of initial best qualified in the RFP process. You are to rank, determine who is the best qualified. And if you can't reach a reasonable price, you go to the next qualified, lower qualified. And I didn't think that this was an issue until I heard Jay Areola said that three were deemed the most qualified. I mean, the record is clear that Great West was ranked as the most qualified. ASC was ranked below. And I think the record speaks for itself, but I have the determination letter from the retirement fund to Great West, where they state this, it's April 27, 2007. I made a copy for everybody, but everyone already has this. File, where they, right off the bat, they state the Government of Guam Retirement Fund has communicated with your firm ranked as the best qualified offer. And we have determined that the best and final offer is not fair and reasonable. Now, Ms. McDonald also said that the fund was wanting clarification on independent custodian, whether or not it would be participant-based, whether the 21 fees would be retained. And she says that Great West was non-responsive. I think that is incorrect on the record. In the procurement file is the March 12, 2007 letter from Great West, addressing these collateral issues. And let's face it, that's not the point of determination. The point of determination was that the 0.27% fee is not fair and reasonable. That's their determination. That was what they considered to be the breaking point. That's the issue on this appeal. And yet, Lisa McDonald repeatedly said in her opening, in her statement here today, she used this phrase, the most fair and reasonable. It was not the most fair and reasonable. That's my point. It was a fair and reasonable. It doesn't have to be the cheapest. It doesn't have to be the most fair and reasonable. It just has to be all in the category of reasonableness. Even though a 0.25% thing may consider more fair and reasonable, it's just simply the wrong criteria that was used by the retirement fund. They misinterpreted the law. So, I think.
Any final questions? No, thank you.
Yes. I just want to reiterate that Mr. Tarkin claims that because Great West is ranked most qualified and must therefore get the contract. As the procurement regulations state, the agency at that point that it identifies best qualified offeror then goes into negotiations with that offeror. So it doesn't end right there. And finally, the last point I want to make is I'm not certain how being non-responsive to the fund's four criteria is fair and reasonable. The fund wanted four different answers to how it was going, how Great West was going to meet the goal of transparency that the fund wanted to implement. It didn't receive clear answers and it received an insufficient answer as to one point. Thank you.
Okay. If there is nothing further than that will conclude the hearing today, we will take into consideration everything that has been submitted to the Office of Public Auditor, and especially the arguments that were presented today at the following hearing. We will prepare our findings of fact and along with the public auditor issue a written decision that will be out no later than February. Okay, thank you for your presentation.